RA Digital with new look. Various collaborative content from various national.
Dengarkanlah lagu ini, buang semua bebanmu, jangan bersedih. Ikuti irama dan tuman musik ini, goyangkan tubuhmu dan kita bergembira. Yang tua dan yang muda semuanya sama, kita di sini tiada berbeda. Kita bersatu dan juga bersama-sama, goyangkan tubuhmu dan kita bergembira. Come on, we can sing together. Come on, we can move together. Come on, let's have fun together. Come on, party on forever.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
You're listening to the English program by the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You can listen to us on voanews.id, application RRI Digital, and the frequency is 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. In a moment, you'll be listening to the highlight of the week. Listener, here's the top stories. Several breakthroughs on Indonesia's 80th Independence Day. Indonesian government boosts student research with strategic funding, and here is highlight of the week. On Sunday, August the 17th, Bank Indonesia introduced a major breakthrough in national payment system by expanding KRIS to Japan. Raditya has the story.
On Sunday, 17 August 2025, Bank Indonesia officially announced the expansion of KRIS to Japan. This breakthrough is coincided with a decade of Indonesia's independence. KRIS stands for Quick Response Code Indonesia Standard. It is the national standard for QR code payment system in Indonesia established by Bank Indonesia. KRIS allow user to make payment by scanning QR code from various digital payment applications such as mobile banking or digital wallet. This announcement was made by the Governor of Bank Indonesia, Peri Warjio, on Jakarta.
Today, we proclaim that KRIS can be used in Japan.
Peri Warjio stated that Indonesia now can use KRIS for transaction at 35 merchants in Japan by scanning the JPQR global code to a domestic payment application. Bank Indonesia also plan to expand merchant coverage in Japan while enabling Japanese citizens to make transaction in Indonesia using their own payment app. Bank Indonesia also began the KRIS sandboxing phase between Indonesia and China, enabling trial transaction. In the future, Indonesian kris will be usable in China, and Chinese QR code will be usable in Indonesia. Going forward, Bank Indonesia is committed to expanding kris integration across countries to India, Saudi Arabia, and other countries, having previously connected to Thailand, Malaysia, and Singapore.
And we are also proclaiming the kris trial in China. Not only China, but also China's QR can be used in Indonesia. That's what we are proclaiming. Not only Japan, China. Let us pray that kris will also be connected to India, Saudi Arabia, and other countries.
According to Bank Indonesia, since it launched 6 years ago, kris has become the primary digital payment instrument in Indonesia. To date, it has 60 million users and approximately 40 million MSMEs utilizing it. Bank Indonesia considers this success to be concrete evidence of kris contribution to maintaining national economic resilience, including during the COVID-19 pandemic. Raditya Arif Putrasetiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
The existence of orangutan must be protected continuously. Mostly the habitat of orangutan is in Sumatra. Rizka has the details.
Conserving orangutan is important because it's currently threatened by illegal wildlife trade and land conversion. Said by Batang Toru Program Manager of Conservasi Indonesia, Tony Latuparisa, to RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday. This year's theme is Love for Orangutans, Protect and Don't Sell, chosen to raise public awareness about the threat to the declining population of this endemic species. Doni also explained that Indonesia has 3 species of orangutans whose numbers are now less than 800 individuals. These includes the Bornean orangutan, the Sumatran orangutan, and the Tapanuli orangutan.
In my opinion, the biggest threat is indeed land conversion. And we know that in North Sumatra in 2017, specifically at the end of 2017, a species was released with a population of less than 800 individuals. And this is becoming increasingly fragmented because of land conversion in its ecosystem or habitat.
Doni also said that since 2016, Conservasi Indonesia has been involved in orangutan protection programs in North Sumatra. Through collaboration with local governments and non-governmental organizations, these programs include sustainable forest management, ecosystem area protection, and capacity building for communities around orangutan habitats.
Kegiatan konservasi bersama pemerintah, termasuk kalau di program saya sendiri di Sumatera Utara, kita sudah mendukung pemerintah provinsi Sumatera Utara dalam.
We have brought down the North Sumatra provincial government in terms of improving or managing the average management rate sustainable forest management through initiatives such as building collaboration in management and protecting system locations. Then, through what is called capacity building for forest area managers.
Moreover, Doni further explained that Conservasi Indonesia also promotes public education through environmental awareness campaigns in schools, communities, and social media. Doni hopes that the commemoration of World Orangutan Day can foster a sense of shared love and responsibility for conserving this animal, which is one of Indonesia biodiversity symbols. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian government is stepping up efforts to strengthen student research. A new strategic research fund has been allocated to support projects that meet national and industrial needs. More detailed by Ofra.
Kami menjadi dana riset strategis, artinya tidak dibuka terserah mau proposalnya apa, tetapi kita melihat kebutuhan negara dan kebutuhan dari industri itu kita petakan.
The Indonesian government through the Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Technology emphasized the importance of research in shaping student character. To support this, the government is also working with various partners to fund research. The Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Stella Christie, disclosed it during her remarks at Malang State University East Java on Monday.
Tetapi dana riset yang
tadi... The research fund I mentioned earlier worth 1.8 trillion rupiah from our partners, and the education endowment fund is channeled through the Ministry of Education and Technology as a strategic research fund. This means it is not open to just any proposal. Instead, we map the needs of the country and industry that invite university researchers to submit proposals that match those priorities. Furthermore, Deputy Minister Stella Christie explained that one proposed scheme is co-funding, where 85% of research costs are covered by the ministry and 15% by private or industrial partners. This year, 1.8 trillion rupiah, or about $111 million of strategic research funds have been allocated, focusing on addressing the needs of both industry and the nations. With this step, research in Indonesia is expected to not only be of higher quality, but also more relevant to real challenges on the ground. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia launched National Numeracy Movement to boost children numeracy skill. More story by Dika.
Pada hari ini, saya luncurkan Gerakan Numerasi Nasional.
Indonesia's Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education launched a new initiative in national education at Meruya 04 Primary School in Jakarta on Tuesday to tackle a significant challenge facing the nation's youth, which is a need to strengthen numeracy skills. Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Mukti emphasized that numeracy is a core building block for a stronger future generation. He linked this movement directly to national educational priorities and the broader vision of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math.
Mudah-mudahan menjadi gerakan bersama.
Hopefully, it will become a joint movement that is not only organized at school, but also at home. Therefore, we also need parents to familiarize children with numeracy. Learning is not limited to school, but can also be done at home.
Meanwhile, Director General of Teachers Education Personnel and Teacher Education Nunuk Suryani highlighted that numeracy is a foundational skill for life and a necessary tool for facing modern challenges.
For this reason, the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education took the initiative to launch the National Numeracy Movement, which is a strategic initiative aimed at improving students' analytical numeracy skills and fostering a culture of critical thinking in students and all levels of Indonesian society.
Nunuk Suryani pointed out that there are still significant hurdles to overcome, including improving teacher competence and public awareness. To address these issues, the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education has launched a holistic grassroots campaign hoping to empower the entire community. Dika Dayan Ananda, Voice of Indonesia.
Ahmad Muzani urges nation to reclaim the constitution spirit. More detail by Anissa.
Chairman of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Ahmad Muzani, emphasized the profound significance of the constitution as a true reflection of the nation's spirit and aspiration rather than merely a formal legal document. In his address at the commemoration of Constitution Day and the 80th anniversary of the Assembly in Jakarta on Monday, 18 August, he drew upon the foundational thoughts of one of the nation's founding fathers, Muhammad Yamin, to elaborate on the Constitution's essential meaning and spirit.
Muhammad Yamin once stated that the proclamation and the constitution are two inseparable entities. For him, the proclamation of independence was a political declaration, while the constitution served as the foundational legal framework ensuring the people's sovereignty. Yamin also emphasized that the constitution must embody the soul and aspiration of the sovereign Indonesian people, rather than being a mere imitation of other constitutions.
Muzani also highlighted the grave danger of reducing the constitution to a mere formality, which could lead the nation to become apathetic towards its own fundamental law.
In the course of our nation's journey, we must not become complacent, as we are frequently confronted with the temptation to disregard the constitution itself. This attitude emerges when the constitution's noble norms are reduced into a mere formalism.
Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
Prabowo praises the 1945 Constitution on Constitution Day. More story by Rama.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto praised the country's 1945 Constitution on its anniversary, calling it concise yet very clear. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Pratikno conveyed this at the commemoration of Constitution Day and the 80th anniversary of Indonesia's Parliament People's Consultative Assembly MPR in Jakarta on Monday, August 18th. Representing the President, Pratikno added that Prabowo also honored the nation's founding fathers who drafted the Constitution, such as Indonesia's first President and Vice President, Sukarno and Muhammad Hatta.
Bahwa Presiden juga menegaskan bahwa Bung Karno, Bung Hatta, dan para tokoh generasi.
The President emphasized that Bung Karno, Bung Hatta, and the figures of the 1945 generation were exceptional leaders. They were the architects of independence, designing a constitution that is not too long, yet explicit and clear. That document is the 1945 Constitution.
Dan jelas. Dokumen itu adalah Undang-Undang Dasar 1945.
Pratikno also recalled Prabowo's state address on Friday, August 15, when he praised the 1945 Constitution as a framework that remains relevant, powerful, practical, and applicable. The 1945 Constitution was officially adopted on August 18, 1945, by the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, PPKI. It has since undergone 4 amendments, the last of which was ratified in 2002. Ramasiki Pratama, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has been officially invited by German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier for an official state visit to Berlin, signaling a commitment to deepen ties between the two nations. The visit schedule for the second half of this year was confirmed following a high-level meeting between the country's foreign ministers in Jakarta on Wednesday. More detail by Desi Anugranov.
The Indonesian government has welcomed an official invitation from German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier for President Prabowo Subianto to conduct a state visit to Berlin this year. The invitation was announced following a meeting between Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono and German Federal Foreign Minister Johan Wadopul in Jakarta on Wednesday. Minister Sugiono emphasized that the invitation represents a special recognition of the close partnership between the two countries.
Dan dalam pertemuan kami juga menyambut baik dan berterima kasih atas undangan.
In our meeting we also welcome and express our gratitude for the invitation from the German president to President Prabowo Subianto to undertake a state visit to Berlin, which is expected to take place in the second half of this year. We consider this invitation a form of special recognition that reflects the strong partnership between our two countries.
Yang mencerminkan eratnya kemitraan kedua negara.
Sugiono added that Germany is a comprehensive and strategic partner for Indonesia in Europe. President Prabowo's visit to Berlin is expected to further strengthen future bilateral cooperation. On the same occasion, German Foreign Minister Johan Wadefeld stated that the meeting would also address development in the global situation, including regional issues. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
The House of Representatives of Republic of Indonesia has begun officially the deliberations on the 2026 draft state budget bill.
The Indonesian House of Representatives held a second plenary meeting of the 2025-2026 session at the Parliamentary Complex in Jakarta on Tuesday, August 19th. The meeting was led by Deputy Speaker of the House, Adis Kadir, and attended by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani and National Development Planning Minister Rahmat Pambudi. The plenary meeting discussed the presentation of general views from all factions within the parliament regarding the draft law on the state revenue and expenditure budget, along with a financial note.
As we know, the government delivered a statement on the draft bill for the 2026 fiscal year state budget, along with its financial note at the plenary meeting on August 15, 2025. In accordance with the provisions of Article 168, Paragraph 2 of the Parliament's Rules of Procedure, which states that factions are given the opportunity to present their general views at the Parliament's plenary meeting on the draft state budget bill and its financial note.
After listening to the general views from all factions in the Parliament, The Indonesian government is scheduled to provide its response next week.
The government's response to the general views of the factions of the draft bill for the 2026 fiscal year state budget and its financial note will be delivered at the Parliament's plenary meeting on Tuesday, August 26, 2025.
This 2026 state budget bill is the first of President Prabowo Subianto's administration, with its mission to realize a sovereign, independent, and prosperous Indonesia. Quoted from an official statement by the Minister of Finance, the government expressed its appreciation for the support and constructive input from all factions. The government emphasized that synergy with the parliament is crucial to ensure the state budget can be a healthy and credible fiscal instrument, responsive to the nation's development challenges and opportunities.
The letters of Indonesian national heroine Raden Ajeng Kartini has been officially recognized by UNESCO's Memory of the World Program. More story by Kiki Novitasari.
The letter and archive of Raden Ajeng Kartini has been officially designated by UNESCO as a memory of the world. The designation was announced by UNESCO on April 17, 2025, along with 73 other documentary heritage collections from around the world. At the National Seminar and Exhibition, Kartini's World, A Perspective and Legacy on Equality in Jakarta on Tuesday. The Minister of Culture, Padli John, stated that this UNESCO recognition is proof that the work acknowledged Kartini's intellectual contribution to global civilization.
Jadi dengan dimasukkannya surat-surat Kartini,
so the inclusion of Kartini's letters into the memory of the world signifies that the world recognized the intellectual heritage of Indonesia's contributions of thought to the development of global civilization, and specifically regarding Kartini's intellectual legacy, we can also be proud that the perspective and spirit of Indonesian women towards education, emancipation, equality, as well as their contribution of thought to nationhood, have become a shared memory of the global community.
Meanwhile, the ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands to Indonesia, Timor Leste, and ASEAN, Mark Gripson, stated the Kartini's letter carry a universal message about the importance of women and education.
And her letters hold a universal message, a message of the importance of women and education as a key to empowerment. Her letters revealed her progressive views on gender equality, emancipation, and social reforms, and her views still resonate today around the world.
The letter and archive of Raden Ajeng Kartini on the struggle for gender equality were jointly nominated by Indonesia and the Netherlands for UNESCO recognition in the memory of the world. This letter and archive are currently preserved in both countries, established by UNESCO in 1992. This program aims to promote the preservation of an universal access to humanity's documentary heritage. Kiki Novita, Voice of Indonesia.
To mark the World Patient Safety Day, Indonesian government has announced a new pilot project in West Java aimed at significantly reducing the nation's infant mortality rate. More story by Isan Syahputra.
To commemorate the World Patient Safety Day, which falls on September 17th, the Indonesian government held a series of commemorative events starting Tuesday, August 19th, in Jakarta. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin stated in his address that the Indonesian government will soon launch a pilot project in West Java province in an effort to reduce the infant mortality rate in Indonesia. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Health, has designated Garut Regency, Bogor, and Bandung as pilot projects to reduce infant mortality during childbirth. According to Budi Gunadi, this pilot project includes efforts to improve data management and hospital governance.
Jadi nomor satu itu tadi ya, registrasinya masih bagus. Nomor dua.
So number one, registration must be good. Number two, hospital governance must be good. Number three, the referral process must be streamlined so that each case can be handled optimally. And number four, we want this pilot project to be operational and quickly replicated throughout Indonesia.
Ini bisa jalan dan segera direplikasi ke seluruh Indonesia.
On the same occasion, the WHO representative for Indonesia, Roderick Salenga, conveyed that Indonesia has achieved success in efforts to reduce maternal and child mortality during childbirth. However, he emphasized WHO's commitment to continue working with the Indonesian government and all related parties to ensure equitable access to health service for infants can be continuously implemented.
On this, Indonesia has achieved strong progress. Between 2000 and 2023, maternal mortality already dropped by more than half. neonatal deaths fell by 56%, stillbirths by almost half, and under 5 deaths by 62%. Tremendous progress indeed.
World Patient Safety Day held every September 17th to raise global awareness of the importance of patient safety. This year's theme is Safe Care for Every Newborn and Every Child, which emphasizes the shared commitment to protect mothers and children from the risk of unsafe healthcare. Isan Syaputra, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that's highlight of the week.
Datangnya belakangan. Create digital with new look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
All of my stuff's are gone. Thinking I cry alone, but no, I got it all wrong. The little backyard I have now flattened by the sand. I would say it is the end. Hundred songs that I've thrown in front of precious wall that covers my room with lungs. All of my stuffs are gone. Thinking I cry alone, but no, I got it all wrong. The house are not the home again. Everything changes. I'm watching the distance. I don't ever wanna say goodbye. The lost house is empty. Not a single sound I hear. Now it's time to really, really cry. I remember those bikes that park outside a small road. I hate when I have to reel. She's grown with the world. The house are not the home again. Everything changes. I'm watching the distance. I don't ever wanna say goodbye. The lost house is empty. Not a single sound I hear. To really, really cry. Everything changes. I'm watching the distance. I don't ever wanna say goodbye. The lost house is empty. Not a single sound I hear. Now it's time to really, really cry.
Here is the VOI talk about Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship for the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, dear listener. Welcome to a special episode of VOI Talk. And right now, in the studio, live on Voice of Indonesia English broadcast, where today I'm going to discuss something outside Indonesia, not just outside Indonesia, but it is actually in Indonesia. But it is quite an interesting program. And with the theme of today, Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship in 2025. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm here with three honorable guests. We have here Ibu Ani Nigeriawati. How are you, Bu?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so then we have two guests from outside of Indonesia. And one of them is Emmanuel Kiganza. How are you today?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here today.
Yeah. Okay, so and finally we have Monoj Kadga. I'm sorry, I don't want to mispronounce your name. Okay, so Emmanuel and Monoj is a student from Nepal and Tanzania. Mm-hmm. So they are coming to Jakarta, Indonesia, to Universitas Negeri Jakarta to learn more about the cultures and arts of Indonesia there. Mm-hmm. So without any further ado, let's begin the interview. So you don't have to be nervous. It's just going to be a chill conversation between
us. Sure.
Okay, so first I would like to ask Bu Ani first.
Yeah.
So could you explain a little bit to us about the vision and objectives behind this Indonesian Arts and Cultural Scholarship Program? And I heard it's been started since 2003.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. So Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship, mm-hmm. it was first introduced in 2003. Mm-hmm. It is now one of our flagship programs. It is the instrument for us mm-hmm. to bring mm-hmm. our partner countries closer mm-hmm. to Indonesia. It is an instrument of soft power diplomacy to strengthen people-to-people contact. And it is one of the most effective cultural diplomacies that we have been undertaking. And we have alumni of this program since it was introduced in 2003. We have 1,069 alumni from 84 countries. Oh. And now with the participants in this program this year, we are going to have 1,081 alumni from 85 countries, because Nepal
is the first.
This is the first for Nepal.
Okay. Yeah.
We are welcoming Nepal to the family of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship.
Okay, that is amazing, everyone. You can clap if you want.
Yay.
So Indonesia is keep expanding its bilateral relation between other countries also.
Exactly, yes.
And of course, Nepal is the newest one. So I would like to ask Manoj. So can you explain to me how do you find out about this program, and maybe like is there any like a test to go to Indonesia or like a assignment to do before you go to Indonesia?
So how I came to know about this program was back in my country. I do some international programs, like many countries from all over the world come to us and we do some programs, and from that there is one sir of us that he told me, "Oh, Manoj, if you are interested, I know you love exploring the countries and you love exploring the cultures. So yeah, you should go there and give it a go." So I was really excited, and knowing about this Indonesian culture, it's been really excited and good for me. And yeah, from that I got the chance, and yeah, I just applied it, and maybe
yeah. We did the, you know, did the selection.
Oh, selection. Yes. Okay.
And he was elected.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Selamat, as we say it in Indonesia. Okay, so moving on to Emmanuel.
Yes.
So how do you know about this program? And maybe like, it's going to be a different question from Manoj. Maybe like, what is your most memorable thing when you first come to Indonesia? Is it like the suddenly when you came and then the weather suddenly like burst through your face?
Oh,
like,
oh, so that is so interesting question. Mm-hmm. My first impression when I came to Indonesia, first I can categorize it. First, when I took off the plane, the incredible hospitality of the people of Indonesia was so amazing. Just imagine, I was in airport and I asked someone about something and he don't know English, but we communicate.
Oh.
Yeah, so we communicate and he showed me the way. So it was so amazing. It's not everywhere that you can get that hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is our first one. And the second one is weather. In Indonesia, it's a little bit different to my country. I was like, oh, so this I feel in Indonesia. Yeah. And another is building, yes, buildings. Culture, yes, culture, and everything, people, foods.
Okay.
Yeah, music. Yeah, it's so unique. I feel like, oh, this is so good. Yeah, and while we are continuing to our program, I was feeling like, oh, so this program is so it's so important. Maybe I can be like an ambassador to my fellow youth, so I can tell what I feel right now. Yeah, it's so amazing.
Okay, I think we're going to have the next ambassador of Tanzania. Okay, that's really amazing. So, coming again to Bu Ani, I would like to ask you, like, in this program, so since 2003, it keeps expanding and expanding. And I heard that since today's program is going to be held until the 23rd of
August.
August, yes. Yeah. 23rd of August. Will the students over here experience the Indonesian independence? And I think I would like to know, what are you planning to show them from the Kamloops side of the story?
Yes, basically now they are officially friends of Indonesia. By joining, participating in this program, they are friends of Indonesia. And when they return to their home country, we would like them to connect with our embassies or our missions in their respective countries. Therefore, while they are here, we want to introduce them as much as possible what we can offer, not only about the culture itself, but also the tradition, way of life, and then how Indonesian people live together side by side, as well as we are approaching the celebration of our Independence Day. We are going to have them actually in our carnival on the 17th of August to celebrate the our Independence Day, Indonesia's Independence Day. We are going to have a carnival in Monas. And yeah, as part of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs carnival.
Okay, so coming to Monas, especially on the Independence Day, I think there will experience many festive things. You can see jets flying around the Monas, as you heard over here. And then, like, I think, is there a chance for them to, like, meet maybe with the president of Indonesia if they have the chance, like,
well, there is no schedule for doing so, but they already met with our vice foreign minister and had chit chat, and then already visited our ministry's building as well to visit the Gedung Pancasila. And then I think from the University of Negeri Jakarta already took them around Jakarta as well.
To introduce
them with the historical buildings and the beautiful sights that Jakarta can offer.
Okay, that is really amazing. And so, moving back to the tour here, I heard that you went to Universitas Negeri Jakarta. Actually, I'm an alumni there. And so, what do you think about when visiting to Universitas Negeri Jakarta, and what did my campus, like our Universitas Negeri Jakarta, showed you around Jakarta, Indonesia? Is there like any stories that you would like to share to us?
Many of students,
mm-hmm.
in the same hospitality,
mm-hmm.
from students to other people, they something we share different things, some story, some culture, because I'm from another place,
mm.
they from here, so they are interesting to know much better about my culture, my country, mm. how do we live, our food the same to Indonesian, so it's good, yeah.
Mm. yeah. Mm. What about you, Manoj?
Yeah, when we go to UNJ, every day there's something happening. A lot of students are doing many activities, and we just see that and we're enjoying it. And sometimes we talk with them, and we went to a few buildings, a few faculties. Everything was great. So, yeah, it was great.
Okay.
It's great.
Okay, so maybe the question for the three of you, I would like to ask you, how are you going to spend, since we are in the festive mood, especially for the 80th anniversary of, and I mean the 80th Independence Day of Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any plans on from the ministry and also the both of you to like celebrate the Independence Day?
As far as I know, Universitas Negeri Jakarta on the 17th of August, they're going to organize competition, you know, like festivities in their campus, where they can, you know, join, such as, you know, like the activities, the sport activities, and other activities that you normally have during the celebration of Indonesia's Independence Day. Those kind of activities, they're going to have it, and in the evening they're going to be taking part in the carnival that I mentioned in Monas.
Okay. So it is going to be a busy schedule for you this Sunday.
So enjoy it.
You will enjoy it. Of course you must enjoy it. Okay, now speaking outside of the topic, I would like to ask about the culture of Indonesia. Maybe like, can you tell me what is your most unique and tasty food, maybe, when you visit Indonesia?
Yeah, there are like a lot of it. And especially the friend of mine, they recommended me, you should try this. So the martabak.
Oh, martabak?
Yeah.
Okay.
The martabak, I like it. It's really good. And about the curry, the rendang. Chicken rendang.
Rendang.
I really like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So martabak, is it the sweet one or the egg one?
It's the chocolate peanut one.
Oh, chocolate peanut.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. So it's quite unique. Usually what they usually mention is rendang, but when you say martabak, it's like, oh, it's new. The one who recommends you that should get applause for it.
Yeah, I'll give them applause.
Emmanuel, what about you?
There is a lot of foods. Every day, like, I try new thing. Sometimes I forget name, but I remember, like, oh, there's something. But my favorite is nasi goreng.
Nasi goreng, of course. I agree with you, because that's my favorite as well.
Yes.
Maybe, like, Buani, maybe what is your favorite food in Indonesia? Since the ministry to go around taste foods.
Interestingly, my directorate of public diplomacy, are taking care of the promotion of Indonesian food.
Oh.
We have this program, what we call it, the Indonesian Gastro Diplomacy Series.
Oh,
yeah, so we promote our food to international audience. And from the ministry itself, we do have this database, what we call it, dashboard of Indonesian Gastro Diplomacy, that presents the number of Indonesian restaurants overseas, as well as the most favorite Indonesian food overseas.
There's five.
First one is rendang. Second one, nasi goreng. Third one, gado-gado. The fourth one is satay. And the fifth one is noodle. Like meatball. Noodle, bakso, and then rank six is soto.
Soto.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of foods, I'm getting really hungry after. Okay. As we are reaching the afternoon, I'm going to ask the final question for the three of our honorable guests here. Like, can you say three words for the Independence Day of Indonesia and maybe in Indonesia in general? Describe it in three words. It's simple. You like food, unity, and hospitality. It's good enough. Okay.
That's the one.
Make your own. Don't use mine. Okay.
Maybe start with you.
Hospitality. Unit.
Unit.
And friendship.
Friendship.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, of course. The friendship between nations is really important as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And Monash.
One, diversity.
Diversity.
And another, I shouldn't miss food.
Food, okay.
Yeah, and the culture.
Culture.
Yeah.
And maybe Bu Ani, describe this program in three words. Not Indonesia, but this program.
This program.
Yes.
Friendship.
Friendship.
People to people.
People to people, okay.
Contact.
Contact, all right.
Friends of Indonesia.
Friends of Indonesia. You heard it there, folks. And thank you so much for the three of you for coming to the studio and share your experience and describing to us about this program, especially here in Voice of Indonesia. Okay, thank you so much, Bu Ani, Emmanuel, and Manoj for coming here.
Thank you so much.
And for listener, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this special interview. And it is really unique. And I hope the best for Indonesia and also the other countries that is in relations with Indonesia and keep getting closer together and maybe spread the words of peace from Indonesia to the world in the future. And maybe from Nepal and Tanzania to the world. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Ray, and I'll see you in the other episode of Special Interview with the Voice of Indonesia VI Talk. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound. pretend I'd be okay. Ooh, you can call me anyway. You just had a bad day, doesn't happen every day. Sun keeps shining through. If you say it's okay to not be okay.
Indonesia.
Thank you very much for listening. Do not forget to tell us what you feel about our programs to our email, voalisteners@gmail.com. The Voice of Indonesia is still here on voanis.id, RRA Digital Mobile App, and the frequencies 3325 kHz.